Five. Oh, whoa. Welcome to the Elsa Pimentos podcast. I'm speaking with 16 Scandals and band member
Zazu.
Yep. Let's do that. Zazu? Is that it?
I try and keep my real name off the internet. This is close to the internet, adjacent, just so I know who I'm talking to.
Perfect, Zazu. Let's go.
Zaz.
Zaz for short?
Sure.
Cool. Can I call you Zazafras?
Call me whatever you want.
How did the band start? 16 Scandals. How did it all start?
That is a good question. We had like a bunch of different names, and I was working with this drummer named Matt. He lived in Brampton, and we played a lot of shows under some other names, and we never even had a bass player.
Oh, really?
Just had a weird guitar rig, and we said we need to actually make ourselves a real band. So we found a bass player named Kohei from Japan, and we changed our name to 16 Scandals. But Kohei's visa ended. He had to move back to Japan. We miss you, Kohei.
And shout out to Kohei.
Shout out to Kohei. And my boy Matt got married and had a life, and so he decided he was going to stop music completely. Matt, I don't know why you did that, but I respect your decision. And so I got hung out to dry and had to hit Kijiji for a while, and we found Dave. Now Dave is like, he came out to the audition thinking he was joining a real band. Little did he know it was just me. So he comes in and he had songs memorized, and I had tried out like 10 different drummers and they were all terrible. Didn't learn the songs, couldn't keep time. There's a couple racists. There's one guy made some Jew jokes, and I was like, you gotta go. Dave comes in, he was like super nervous and cute, and he knew every song that I had asked him to learn back to front, and I was like, you're hired.
Yeah.
And he also has a great sense of humor. And then we did the same for bass players, and we found Isaac. Now, Isaac was not the most technically proficient bass player we had, but Isaac's cool breeze personality won us over instantly. That guy is like a cool glass of milk on a February day or something.
I'm all lactated out, so I don't even drink the milk. But all
right, almond
soft
milk. Sangria.
There you
soft
go.
Soft sangria in the sun.
Nice.
Cool as a cucumber. That's what I was looking for. And so that's how 16 Scandals, the current iteration, formed.
Nice. So when you your latest single is called "We're Off and Need the Wizard." What's that one about?
Well, I had this riff, you know, the like, I had that for a while. Like, we started that in 2019, the before times.
Yeah.
And I had that riff and we would jam in. It was kind of like our jam riff, but it never went anywhere.
Yeah.
And so we were like, we were rocking it out in the jam space one day, and I found the chorus chord, that like low drop. And I did like Gregorian chanting, like, oh. And we just started howling, laughing, like, we gotta make it like a mystic metal song. And so the lyrics were like, over the hills. We were doing like 3 inches of blood singing, like, no, over the hills at first, and like trying to sing about stuff. And then we thought about, what about if it was about a tone wizard? And a tone wizard was like, we worked with a bunch of producers and recording engineers.
Yeah.
And this one guy, I'm not gonna name him here. Oh wait, yes I am. Greg Effin Dawson.
Oh
boy.
Gerg
is the tone wizard. We've worked with other tone wizards, but the OG tone wizard was Gerg. Now, we were with him for two of our first records and a demo, and I met Anger, is all I'm gonna say. And if the tracking wasn't going well, or if like it wasn't sounding good, you know. And
oh,
you were
from
ashamed.
Gerd?
Yeah. You were ashamed. He was like, you need to go home and practice. But like,
are you for real?
For real, man. Recording with Gerd was high pressure, but the results, he shaped everything I know about recording and guitar tone. Like, yeah. He was so formative to 16 Scandals, and he is a musician, which is why he's the wizard. So when we came to him, we were nothing. We were a grasshopper, you know? And he helped shape us through trying different amps, different tones. My current setup is because of him. And so that's what the lyrics were about, is like, he's just this magical beast that was like, he used to hit the darts, but now he's on the clean living.
Yeah, he's always baking sourdough bread, too.
For reals.
All the time.
That's the magic. Yeah, the kale farts.
That's it, man.
Anyway, I don't want to throw him under the bus. A lot of it was hyperbole. He doesn't, as far as I know, he's not on the cocaine or smoking cigarettes in the studio. It's like, he's a good guy, but we had to embellish the character of the Tone Wizard.
Yeah, so is that what you guys call him? Is the Tone Wizard now?
Gerg is definitely the Tone Wizard.
Yeah.
Since working with him on an EP, a demo that is unreleased right now, and a record, we worked with another Tone Wizard named Ryan at the Music Farm.
Yeah.
Also phenomenal engineer who taught us a lot about performance. And so the Tone Wizard is kind of like a...
His band in general fucking rips, eh?
Oh man, so heavy.
Like,
crushing.
Same with old,
old
dude.
Grail. Cunter. Because we can swear on here. Cunter.
I love Cunter.
Fucking love the Cunter.
That's fucking... Cunter is... Out of all the bands that he's done, Cunter's probably one of my favorites. And old, too. But two different music genres, right? So what got you into playing music?
Nirvana.
Nirvana?
Yeah, I saw Kurt Cobain. Like, I grew up in, like... that era right before... I'm pretty old, but...
How old are you now?
I shouldn't say online.
Whatever.
I'm 47.
Fuck, I'm 43.
Nice.
Same thing. Yeah, go.
Okay. So I grew up when cock rock was just on the tail end. And, you know, I hear Metallica. I'm like a young buck with an acoustic guitar. And I hear Metallica and Guns N' Roses. And I'm like, I can kind of figure out that stuff. And I'm like, this is complicated shit. Nirvana comes out with fucking four chords and a melody, and you're like, I can play that.
Yeah.
I can do that. And so, like, before I could even play chords, I was writing songs. Because, like, I can do that.
Yeah, man. No, that's the thing, too, is, like, I would sit there, and then Nate from the Aurora Brewing Company, what do you want, dude? See if you guys want another beer.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, let me... What else do we have? What's, you have anything fruity? No sours?
No sours. You might like the Lady Friend or Borealis.
It's IPA.
Okay. I'll go... Let's try the lager.
The Three Fields.
Sure. Oh, notes of honey. Maybe I will like that. Yeah, thanks. No hops. No hops for me.
Yeah. Can you just bring one up?
Sure.
So we're not really quite finished yet. So yeah, no, I would consider... I had this conversation before. I would consider Nirvana a punk band, 100%.
Oh my god.
I think...
Like a hurricane on stage.
The term alternative music, it's hard for me to swallow because it's hard for me to put Nirvana and bands like Mudhoney and L7 and the Meat Puppets. Okay.
In the same category?
No, they're in the same category. They're punk rock. But then you got like Alice in Chains and Soundgarden and Pearl Jam where it's like, I think they're away from that.
How old were you at that time? Like 10, 12?
Fuck. Yeah, around there, yeah.
Yeah, so you remember how different it was. Like, they're just like popular culture got to a point. There was like these hair metal bands and pop music, and all of a sudden this giant cleaver came down and just halved the music industry. It was like that shit was old, and this new thing just blew up.
Yeah.
And it was like all of those bands got lumped together because they were so different from what was before, but they're not really the same in anything other than they were just the alternative to that stuff.
What would be your favorite Nirvana album?
Oh, that's a good... That is a tough one. Incesticide?
What's this?
Like...
Oh.
Thank you.
Two mugs.
Yeah.
Cool. Like Nevermind really, really did it for me.
Yeah.
Back to front. But Incesticide, I really love all the deep cuts on there.
I think I would go, my favorite album is probably In Utero, just because Stephen Albini produced it.
And it's raw.
It's fucking, and that's...
Even after the record labels had their way with it.
It's raw. Fucking good, man. Like, yeah. Even if you listen to the 30-year anniversary edition of it, It's fucking bananas. Like, even the B-sides to that album. And then I would go Incesticide. And then Bleach, and then Nevermind.
Nevermind last.
Yeah, I mean,
it's too poppy.
I think when it was produced, it was way overproduced. Mm. My own opinion.
It's valid. It was overproduced.
With In Utero, when Stephen L., I believe it's Stephen L. Bean that did the producing on it. Jez, I'm here to fact check, but I'll fact check it later. But that record itself is just as raw as Bleach. My own opinion.
Yep.
Right?
I did love Incesticide. I mean, sorry, In Utero.
But even Incesticide with the turnaround.
So good.
It's amazing. It's like, it's a punk rock. It's fucking pop punk is what it is.
If I could, 16 Scandals, the kind of vibe we're going for, what were, like, Sliver?
Yeah.
And Molly's Lips?
Yeah.
Like, those two songs are, like, up-tempo and super catchy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's kind of, like, where I got started.
Yeah.
That led me into punk, and I know you're gonna like this. Yeah. N.O. motherfucking X.
Oh, NoFX, yes. So, I love NoFX.
So there I was. Dude. Grunge kid. Plaid. Fucking Doc Martens. And my friend says, hey, you want to go see this band tonight? I'm like, what are they called? And they're like, NoFX. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? What is that?
Yeah.
He's like, no, just come out to the show. And it was NoFX and Face to Face at the Opera House.
What year?
It had to be like 94, 95.
So that was before...
After Kurt's death.
That was before Big Choice then. Face to
Face. No, Big Choice was out.
Was it? Yeah, yeah, it was 94. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not sure about the year, but I do remember that there was a distinct change in when those bands hit the stage. I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Super fast, super catchy. All the band, like both those bands. Did 10 Foot Pole open that show too?
Probably. I think it was at that show. My memory is so foggy with marijuana and fucking liquor.
me too. Yeah, they all kind of blend together.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm pretty sure it was 10 Foot Pole, Face to Face, and NoFX, which was the biggest...
Was it at the Opera House?
Yeah.
It was at the Opera House?
The one I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
So I picked up Rib, White Trash, Three Beans of Bean, and Big Choice.
Yeah.
From the merch table, and I was no longer a grunge kid. I was like... balls deep in skate punk.
My
from that point forward.
My favorites, I would go my
NoFX record.
Yeah. Go Ribs. So Long.
Yeah.
And Two Heaps.
Wait. I was listening a couple while ago and you said that
S&M too.
Pump up the
No, I don't like it. No.
No, who was it that said that?
It was fucking
Davey?
Davey, I think. Might have been Davey that said that. I like the album, it's good.
Dinosaurs Will Die is a masterclass of songwriting.
But those Chef's are the, Kiss. Those Chef's Kiss, there you go. But those are the four albums I go to. What do you go to?
Again, like with Nirvana, Nirvana's Nevermind was like their catchy pop one. White Trash, Two Heaps and a Bean was like, it hooked me so hard. There were so many good, catchy, like it was genre defying, you know what I mean?
It wasn't
for the whole record.
Yeah.
Which a lot of their modern stuff is. But Ribbed was the record I bought, and the record
I love
Ribbed at that point.
And I love how they re-record. They did Ribbed live. Did you listen to that?
No, I didn't hear that.
Fucking good, man. Another record, another band I just got in the mail. I ordered the record. Remember the band RKL?
Yeah. Rich Kids on LSD.
Yeah, man. They released that live album. It's probably one of the best live punk albums I've ever fucking listened to.
Nice.
Yeah, it's fucking really good.
Yeah, those guys are all quality musicians.
They're great. And they're touring again, too.
Sick.
Yeah, because they got the new singer. His buddy passed, right? They got the singer. But even Black Flag's touring again with fucking... what's his face? He's a skateboarder. Pro skateboarder. He's singing for them right now.
Mike Vallely?
Yeah, there you go.
Mike V is singing for Black Flag?
Yeah, man.
Oh, shit.
Did you know that or no?
I feel like somewhere in the murky... alcohol addled depths that I've heard that.
Yeah.
That even makes sense.
Yeah, man, it totally makes sense.
I'm a lightweight. I've been off the drink for like a couple months.
Really? It's alright.
We're getting into it. Start asking me the real questions and it's gonna come out.
What's give me your four? Fuck, let's go three. Three all-time punk bands that you go to right now.
Did it have to be hard, like in punk genre?
No.
The Dirty Nil, 100.
Yeah.
The Dirty Nil out of Hamilton. Have you heard them?
They're great.
Fucking, they changed rock and roll for me. I was at this point where rock and roll is on his last legs. Felt like it was on his last legs, and I heard Fucking Up Young off of a Smite, and I was like, I can't believe that I'm like stoked again about
punk rock in Canada,
heavy and like rock music, and they're local. Yeah. And so it completely changed music for me. Another record that did it was during the pandemic, Turnstile's Glow On.
Dude, Turnstile is the most, and fuck me, whatever, I know they're huge.
Yeah.
But there's not enough people fucking talking about that fucking band. That band is amazing.
Amazing. I'm not going to pretend like it's groundbreaking, never been done, but
it's hardcore, and it's fucking, so I went to see Blink-182 with Jennifer. We bought tickets. It was money show. She never saw them. Blink-182 back in the heyday. She's like, I want to see Blink-182. So I'm like, sweet. So I go down the ACC, and Turnstile was supposed to open, and they weren't there. And I was like, fuck me, come on. I don't know if they couldn't get across the border, or
it was
like,
supposed to open for Blink.
Yeah, man.
Whoa.
And yeah, Turnstile, and that band's fucking crazy. And what's your third one?
Oh, no, I saw Turnstile at History recently.
Was it good? I wanted to go to that show,
been,
man.
I haven't been in a pit in a little bit of a time.
Yeah, because we're in the ripe age in our 40s,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. I went into the pit, and they started with, they played over the speakers, Whitney Houston, what was it? It was the song for my wedding, I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
And then right into Holiday, and I swear to God, it was like I was standing still, and when it dropped, I was 8 feet to the left, 8 feet back, and then right back where I started in like 3 seconds. It was amazing.
Yeah, no,
so
they're
sweaty.
Turnstile is probably, yeah, I think they should be bigger than what they already are, in my own opinion. I know they're big.
Pretty fucking big.
But I wish they would come to Canada more.
Yeah. I'm digging their whole vibe and sound feels so good to me.
It's like, I like it too, because they're like on the same wavelength as like, Propaganda, they don't just put out shit, you know what I mean? They just don't keep putting out, like Propaganda, like, you won't hear from Propaganda in 5 or 7 years, and then Propaganda puts out a new album, and the whole thing fucking rips. There's not a bad track. I don't think it's a bad Propaganda album at all, in my own opinion, but after Turnstile, it's one.
That's funny you should say, Propaganda,
yeah.
How to Clean Everything. Yeah. Was a transformative record. I was a piece of shit in high school. I'm not afraid to admit that. And there came a turning point where I wanted to change my life around and be better, a better person, and treat people around me with more respect and have better friends.
Yeah, man.
And How to Clean Everything came at a time and a place where I was like, I went vegan and like I started like being
still
more
vegan
conscious.
Now or no?
No.
No,
sorry, Chris, but that didn't stick around. But I spent a lot of time trying to be really socially conscious and fight for progressive values, and that's all because of Propaganda.
Well, that's what I mean. Everyone fucking love everyone, man. Like, and that's the thing. Regardless, like, whatever you want to fucking be, man, do it. And you shouldn't have anyone fucking telling you not to do it. You know what I mean?
I mean, if it's not hurting other people,
right?
Live your life.
That's it, man.
I mean, the two stalwart values of the left are harm reduction, like reduce harm to everybody, allow well-being to flourish,
yep.
And reduce inequality and fairness, allow people to flourish. And like, as progressive, it's hard to not see the world, to see those virtues as like
fucking,
just basic good.
Dude, it's fucking bananas. Like, you know, I've talked before, and whatever. In 2024, there's still people hating other people, and I fucking can't stand that.
It's just human nature. It's like one of the fundamental things of human, like me good, not like me bad, is like a fundamental human thing, and
like,
I don't know if we'll ever get over it.
Well, that's the thing, it's like
exhausting.
Yeah, it's like Jeff and I we fly every flag that's around, right? Because everyone just needs to fucking start getting along.
Or Or just fucking leave it. If it's not your bag, don't do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Keep your opinion to yourself and whatever. Like, just fuck it. I don't know.
The paradox of tolerance. The tolerant can tolerate everything but intolerance. And like, that's a social contract. That's how you run a society. Is like, I can tolerate everything but Nazis. The intolerant, you gotta go.
That's it, man. So, give me another band that influenced you.
Recent or old?
Recent or old. It doesn't matter.
I mean, we could go back. Jimmy Eat World was, like, crazy good.
Yeah, man.
That Bleed American was a banger from beginning to end, and, like, not too sappy, but not too happy. Like, there's they deal with some real issues on that record.
Yeah. What was the album after that? That was,
Fact check. I think that's the only record that like, I dig some of their other stuff, but that was the only record that really, really resonated with me. That was still put on
the one on after stereo. That, I forget what it was called, but I'll do it right now. You got it? We're actually sitting in the Allure Brewing Company right now on St. Patrick's Day. I think I'm faster than you there, honey.
Yeah.
Oh, how's Steven?
Lovely.
Futures.
Futures.
Has pain on it. Yeah, we're cool, man.
2004?
Yeah, right there.
Which song's that?
Lagwagon.
What's your favorite Lagwagon album?
All right, so real talk. One of my closest friends actually passed away this week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And... the tears are like just a little bit behind, and today I put on one of my favorite records of all times that was like our record. We were in a band together. We played drums in our high school band called Some Thucker.
Yeah, man.
And Let's Talk About Feelings was like,
oh yeah, May 16th, dude.
Yeah, that was like our record.
It's a great fucking...
He was a huge Lagwagon fan, and
I'm so sorry.
I was listening to that today, and it was a little real.
Do you have it on vinyl?
No, I don't have a record player because I'm scared to become a collector again.
Yeah.
I had a massive CD collection, and when CDs died and I sold it, it broke my heart to get like $10 for 800 CDs.
I had 1,200 CDs.
I had like so many. The split record with Satanic Surfers and what is it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, fuck.
Oh, if we could talk about great records, The Refuse, The Shape of Punk's Come. That was another pivotal moment in my musical education.
Dude, that is top five, probably top 10. Top
10.
Five, yeah. Another one for me was Smash by The Offspring. I love that album and I love that band. I will take them over any of the big ones. They're my number one.
Where did you first hear it? Can you remember the time?
Yeah, I do.
Place?
I was on a bus to the, what's the museum down in Toronto? That's it. Grade 8. Chris LeBeater was behind me. We had cassettes. And then he had Green Day Dookie and Offspring Smash. And then I was hooked after that. And little do you know that Offspring Smash was the highest selling independent album for about 20 years, man.
I have heard that. That was like a huge deal. They were on Nitro, was it?
Yeah.
Well, it went Nitro, then Epitaph.
Yeah. Epitaph. Yeah. How about those Punk-O-Ramas?
That was good, man. What was your favorite one?
The OG?
Yeah.
The first one.
Yeah?
The first one. What was on that?
Number two. It was...
The 10 Foot Pole song was about graffiti.
Yeah.
Open your mind.
Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Pennywise was on there.
Pennywise.
No Effects.
Rancid had Hyena.
Here's a question for you. What do you think of Rancid?
I've never been a big... You know what I want to say? Just a little comedy bit. So they're in the studio, right? Now I've been in the studio with Gerg, and Gerg is sitting there. I'm not feeling it. I'm singing in the can, and he's like over the thing. He's like, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. At what point was Tim Armstrong in there? And they were like, that's the one. That's the one right there. because it works. He makes it work, but it's like there's probably a dozen takes of like different work.
See, you know what? Yeah, Sean's on the same.
You know what I mean?
Not a huge fan.
Not first three albums.
Hyena was great.
Yeah.
Time Bomb, fucking great.
Yeah.
Like I'm about singles, not albums.
That's fair.
For Rancid.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I guess I'm with you on that one too.
They've never had a banger record like Glow on or Master.
What was the one with Time? What was
In Utero?
Well, there you go. Like, what was the one with Time Bomb? Time Bomb. What was that? Oh, and it'll Come the Wolves. That was a huge one, I guess for them, but. I don't know.
This is personal preference, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I think with, like, say, somebody like me.
You love Rancid.
I do. Because I can go into the pit in Rancid and know I'm going to be safe. That's crazy?
For reals?
I have been.
That's awesome.
And everyone's like, oh, hey, come on up front. And I'm like, this is cool. Where I've tried to in other places and been like,
no.
Later, you know, so.
That's not cool.
Yeah, so that kind of left a fun.
You met Rancid too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Huh? Well, how'd you get the poster signed?
Oh, they have them. Yeah. Oh,
you bought it?
No,
or they signed
there.
It. Oh, word. So nothing to see here. Album. Let's
talk. Yeah, it's a podcast. You can't see anything.
Yeah. Right. Can't see anything. Nothing. Amazing.
That was Dave. I was channeling Dave there.
So that came out, and how long? So you guys record this over the pandemic, or was it over 2019?
It was just before it was the before time. So we toured. We got to go out to the East Coast and back.
What was your favorite? Where'd you guys tour at East Coast?
We went to Ottawa, Montreal, We didn't play in Moncton, but we stopped in Moncton, and I partied way too hard at the casino and lost my voice, and then the next three shows were a total shit show. We hit St. John, Newfoundland, Fredericton,
New Brunswick,
Halifax, and I think we hit Ajax on the way there too. I think that's it.
Yeah. And then, what's your favorite song to play off that album?
That's a good question. Definitely the hidden track at the end about not going to prison.
Yeah.
But besides that, Hear No Evil, See No Evil is like one of my favorite songs. It's really fun to play live.
We've been listening to that on the way here.
It's amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I know. You guys, in your live performance, so where do the dad jokes come from in between songs? Whose idea was that?
It's ironic because Isaac and I have kids.
Yeah.
But Dave, who has volunteered to not have kids, like he's had the snip and everything.
Sean has too.
Yeah, I've had the snip, but that was after two kids.
That's the best way I've ever.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he did.
He took himself out of the equation.
Yeah.
Because he's just living his best life with his partner and like. Fuck, I'm jealous. I love my kids, love my family, love my life. But man, he's out for sushi. He's fucking going on trips. He's going backpacking and stuff. And it's great.
For him, it's great.
So you live.
So the dad jokes, ironically, come from him. He's a quick wit, and we love dry, groany humor.
Yeah.
That's our brand. Is dumb.
I know it's like, so I first saw you guys, I think I've seen you guys before. Did you guys play with Belvedere at one point or no?
I don't think so.
No? Fuck me.
No, I would definitely remember that.
Yeah, I know. I saw you guys at, not Fangos here. Fucking Jimmy Jazz as well.
Jimmy Jazz, yeah.
And your live show is fucking, dude, it's fucking nuts, man.
I'm sorry.
It's fucking great.
Right. Yeah, that's what you meant. Yes.
I'm not saying.
No,
that's
I know.
That's good.
I mean, I feel like my job as a musician is like I have to play well and sing well on a record.
Yeah, man.
But playing well and singing well at a venue for real people is not fun. People, you got to give the audience the energy you want back from them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, my job is to entertain people live. And so I make a lot of mistakes, and I sing off tune sometimes, but like it's a cardio workout.
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah. And people are hard to please. Let's face it. especially in like a place that size. That's hard to.
There you go. No, you guys, your live show is fucking.
Thank you.
It's really good, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I've said that on the podcast before. You guys should be bigger than what you are.
Here's hoping. You know what? I haven't taken music marketing seriously until this batch of songs that we're releasing.
I just downloaded Reaper like 2 weeks ago and had Dan Mills do the intro to the podcast. Because at the beginning, it was just me shooting the jazz with the band that I fucking like, and it sounded like three quarters I'm fucking either high or drunk fucking doing it, but whatever.
But like it's unfortunate, but also the music industry is really interesting right now, in that as an artist I'm expected to be a music marketer, a musician, an entertainer, what else, what are the other hats? I have to be a creative mind, I have to be a videographer, I have to be a video editor, I have to be a social media fucking piece of shit. You know what I mean? And like, I resisted it for a really long time because it's a lot of hats to wear. But the truth is, I really, like, the three of us really like making fun and making jokes and having fun.
Yeah.
And I do like video editing. And once
you're really good at it too on Instagram. You do good. Your videos on Instagram are good.
Yeah. Like, once I got over.
I missed the mustache.
Oh. It was started off as a joke after Pooza.
Yeah.
I went to Pooza and like, I don't, have you been to Montreal, obviously? Yeah. Fashion's a little different in Montreal, and there's things that people will do that you're like, whoa, what is that guy doing? But by day three at Pooza, I was like, yeah,
that's cool.
I'm feeling it. That's, like the short shorts and a mustache, let's do it. You know what I mean? Let's go. And you come back to Toronto, and it was like, I'm growing a mustache, I don't give a fuck.
The shortest shorts I can find.
The shortest shorts didn't manifest for a little while. For a little while, but I can't pull it off. My legs are too
tall. It takes a special.
But back to marketing. I resisted, like, I go online and I listen to a lot of people. It's, you gotta do this to be good on TikTok. And I tried to do that for a bit, and it feels disingenuous. And it, like, what you need to go viral is fucking annoying and not me. But now we're making content that I think is fucking hilarious, and it makes us laugh. And so that's what we're trying
to
do.
Well, the whole video when you're shaving your mustache in the mirror, brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
It was good.
I didn't do my nuts, but it might have been a little too far. But like all of our, like when I look at the statistics, it's like a cliff of engagement. It's like
fucking weird,
2 seconds and people are done, and like I'm okay with that because the people that do listen to it are like into it. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm playing to.
That's the thing too, is like even you go like Instagram, like if you don't buy the blue check mark, they don't fucking put it out there as much as they say they do.
Yeah. Sure.
If you pay the $34.99, and I don't know why it's...
Or you gotta do the dance.
You oh, for TikTok?
You gotta, yeah, like you gotta figure out what it is that's trending and do what's trending and shoehorn your creative... Yeah. And I don't want to do that.
Shoehorn.
Shoehorn it in there. Fucking move it up and or go
and
in.
Get it.
Yeah.
Get it, yeah.
I don't want to do it.
A friend of mine, that's what she does for a living. And she knows what time to post things to get the most.
Yeah. I mean, I do a little bit of that.
That's crazy.
No, you're pretty good on Instagram, yeah. You're good.
I'm happy with the concept we're making. It's so, that's all I care about at this point.
Yeah.
I don't want to be...
So you're not going to do a new album. You're just going to release singles.
Hmm. We went into the studio in the before times, and then because
how you say the before times.
It's yeah,
I say past
in the olden
life.
Days, in the past life. For real. In our past life, we entered the studio with the idea of making a record.
And then this shit show happened.
Yeah, but the music industry has changed. And we don't really have a lot of fans, like, necessarily. I think people like our band, but people have no... It's been so long that people don't know about our band really again. So releasing an album is like, I'm going to release 2 singles and then an album, and it's done. And that's it. It's gone. But if I just keep releasing singles, it's like there's a constant flow of content and information. And I just think it makes more sense in today's... See, now I'm sounding like one of a marketing guy. No
one. You're paying attention. Subliminal.
But you're good, though. Like, you're... You guys hone your craft and you know how to fucking put it out there. And yeah, man, it's fucking good.
Well, we'll see. Those are high. That's high praise. Thank you, Sean. We'll see.
Who was the band that was after you and Jimmy Jazz?
Don't put me on the spot like that.
I know, right? We left after you guys because.
Oh, is that?
It's a good tune, eh?
I'm sure everybody else can hear.
Let's change it.
If you jump over.
This is the Glorious Sons, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. No, I like Glorious Sons. They're a little Southern Ontario rock, but I dig some songs.
You love them, yeah.
I think they're fun.
They write a good song.
They're a fun Canadian rock band. Yeah, they're catchy.
Not hating?
No.
It's not reinventing rock for sure, but.
No.
You're hilarious. All right,
so anywho,
where were we?
I was not talking about the lawyers.
I'm a couple pints in now.
Yeah, it is. Sir Patrick said.
So we brainstorm at jams and we're like, what should the content for this be about? Right now we're doing Tone Wizard, which is we're often need the wizard, and the content is all around. A tone wizard using magical powers, and so we've got some really funny stuff for this week, I think.
Yeah.
It involves a wizard costume, which we kind of, at our show in Welland, we cut some slices in of
I can't
of the
wait
tone
to
wizard.
See it.
Conspiracy guy is gonna come back.
Oh, really?
I'm gonna have to draw the mustache on. But he's gonna come back to talk about this tone wizard.
That's coming
what
around.
It really means.
I love it. So we've been, let's go. How many shows you got coming up right now?
We have 4 booked. So we've got a big one coming up. First of all, Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
Every show is a big show. Friday we're playing Toronto with the Mendozas, Choices Made, and fact check it. Oh my God, I'm terrible. Is that it?
I think so.
Oh no.
Shout out to Johnny Mendoza and shout out to Choices Made.
Have you had them on the podcast yet? I haven't heard
the Mendoza?
Them.
Mendoza? Yeah, it's good, yeah.
John is such a great guy.
John's
so
amazing.
Mike has filled in bass for us like so many times.
Yeah.
Solid.
John is hysterical.
Yeah.
He's pretty funny.
He's got comedic chops.
He's got so many irons in the fire right now. It's not even funny. Because he's got his little zine magazine. And he's got Cartridge Heart Records.
You know what? He has worked really hard to
fucking right,
support
dude.
The scene.
Yeah, man.
You know? And that's it.
My fact checking is not going
Oh, let me
well
fact
right
check
now.
It.
I'm so sorry. Oh, hold on. Here we go. Maybe...
It's on my Insta. I just put it in my story.
That would have been the easier
Am I terrible?
Check. No, I just.
I'm didn't. Pretty sure that's it.
That's okay.
Shifty! Oh my God, Shifty! I'm sorry. Shifty is actually Dave's cousin's band, and they're like a skate punk band from Hamilton.
Oh,
amazing. You'll edit all that dead air out, right?
No, we're gonna keep it real. So where's the show in Toronto?
So we're playing at the No-No Room, which is underneath the Doc Ellis.
So you guys start? What time's the doors open?
No idea. I don't even know who's bringing what. We haven't started a gear share yet. I'm going to show up and play when they fucking tell me to, and I'll be happy to do it.
Thanks, Nate.
So that one's coming up on Friday, and then we've got another show. Debatably bigger because it's the Wasting Time CD release.
Shout out to Wasting Time.
Shout out to Mikey
there
and
you
Vlad
go.
And everyone in Wasting
Vlad's
Time.
Vlad's good. They're all good. Oh, their new single fucking rips.
His episode was really good.
Yeah.
I learned about how he got his first guitar.
Yeah.
His mom's a hustler.
And do you guys have any festivals lined up for summer?
No, we don't have any. As far as I know, we don't have a festival. We're Wasting Time, Moffat Ave,
yeah, man.
Who I'm stoked to play with, and Among Legends, who are Kitchener KW locals.
I love Among Legends, they're good.
Right?
They're on the podcast too.
Nice boy. I think I heard that episode.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
They're good. They're a great band. So right now we've been talking for 41 minutes and 21 seconds. Josh, I love you to bits and your band. Give me all the socials.
No.
Cool, right on.
We're on those.
Good
for you. We're on Instagram.
We're to find
16 scandals with the word, because people search the number and that doesn't come up. A bunch of other crap's going to come up. We do not have a good SEO, as they say, in the business. And that's okay. I don't want to make it too easy for you.
Yeah.
We're on Insta, we're on TikTok, fuck Twitter, or whatever it's called now. And Facebook, which I don't really use except to look at my dead friend's profile and cry.
Sorry
to make it real.
No, I know.
I do the same thing with my mom's profile, too.
Oh,
my mom passed.
Did you lose your mom recently?
Yeah, like last 2 years? Last year? Fact check that.
Oh, man, is it?
Is this still... Give me one here.
Is it still a little raw, though?
No, that's good. Yeah, yeah. No, I love my mom. Only joke. I love
it. It gets easier, man.
Yeah, I know. It's all good. So,
I'm telling you, it's been a year.
You know, I lost a friend, like that friend, just before Christmas. It's tough, man. But it's amazing to have
for
a
real?
Friend. Yeah.
Just Christmas?
Yeah. Just before Christmas.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, it's tough. But it's awesome. She was that music friend of me. So, you know, I get how, like, we have our outlook that I relate to her. And it's cool to have that.
I'm okay with the tears coming out. It feels good. You know what I mean?
It does. It's just nice to know that somebody loves you that much.
For real.
It's important to have a friend.
Come on, get a little weepy. Just think about it.
Right, it's fine.
All right, guys. Hold the tears back. We're good.
We're done.
Maybe we'll see you guys on Friday. Tell me when the doors are.
We're coming to KW on the 20th on 420.
Oh, fuck yeah. Let's go, doggy.
We're playing the Yeti. With Ooh. Among Legends.
Has that been
I don't know
announced?
Who's playing bass, but...
I play bass.
John plays
oh,
bass.
No way.
Yeah. When was the last time you played your bass? Get practicing.
14 years ago.
And you don't have kids.
No. And we have a bass at home.
That we know of.
No, I don't
that
have any.
Of.
What the fuck? Asshole. All right, dude. Thanks all for doing this.
Sean, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Everyone, happy St. Patrick's Day. It was a good one. And bye.
This has been The Crack.